Welcome to the Birthful Podcast. I'm Adriana Lozada, and today I'll be talking with pelvic health physical therapist Sarah Reardon about what optimal pelvic health looks like. We'll go into the details about what to do and not to do when peeing or pooping, discuss common issues such as leakage, painful intercourse, and abdominal separation, and we'll explore proactive actions you can take during pregnancy to support your postpartum recovery. Stay tuned. This episode of Birthful is brought to you by BetterHelp, the world's largest e-counseling platform, making professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient so you can get help anytime, anywhere. Go to betterhelp.com/birthful to get 10% off your first month. This episode of Birthful is also brought to you by Family Album, a family-focused photo sharing app that makes it easy for parents to share photos and videos of their kids with their families. Find Family Album on your favorite app store or by searching for Family Album on the web. The Birthful Podcast, talking to maternity pros and new parents to inform your intuition. Hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be. As always, thank you so much for listening and all the love you give this show. If what you hear is helpful, you know what to do. Make sure you subscribe. It is free and that way you won't miss a thing. And if you'd like to further support this podcast, support its sponsors, which in this week's case are BetterHelp and Family Album. Now, as you might know, I just finished creating an amazing online birth preparation class series that I am so proud of. This class series starts tomorrow, February 6th, and the classes are going to take place via live video, so participants will have access to me directly via that during the class, or also have access to recording afterwards if they can't make the class. This is your unique opportunity to get the same level of preparation that I do during prenatal meetings with my doula clients. And what makes those meetings and these classes so unique is that they center around birth as a physiological process, not a medical event. And so they give you clear and specific ways in which you can support your own physiology so that you have the flowing birth experience that you're looking for. In fact, when you know how to do that, you greatly lessen the uncertainties of birth. We also take a deep dive into how to support that physiology within the medical setting, including how to navigate inductions and epidurals and whatever, all the interventions. Ultimately, these classes focus on helping labor flow. And if labor flows, there are fewer interventions. Things are easier and they go quicker. And who doesn't want that? If you are expecting, go register right away because classes start tomorrow. We will be recording the classes, as I mentioned, so you can still join us if you're running a little behind, but really, don't miss this amazing opportunity. Go register at birthfulcourses.com. I am so looking forward to seeing you all in class. All right, so for today's renewed episode, I'm bringing back pelvic health physical therapist, Sarah Reardon, who's also known as the Vagina Whisperer. And yeah, that's such a good name. Welcome, Sarah. It's great to have you here on the show.
Hi, Adriana. Thank you for having me.
Yay. So there's so much I want to ask you about pelvic PT and pelvic health, because it's something that we're only drawing attention to more recently in terms of birth. Like, I feel like it's exploding, and rightfully so, but I'm sure you're like, oh, I've been doing this for so many years. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this?
Absolutely. So I am a pelvic health physical therapist, as you said, and you went to graduate school in St. Louis at Washington University and thought, you know, I'm just going to go do sports therapy and I'm a runner. You know, I had a professor at that time who did women's health, and I wasn't even really sure what that is. I think that some individuals just have a natural attraction towards certain things. Like, I took women's studies and I did yoga, and, you know, I just kind of had a little more of a diverse interest in my personal life. And I said, you know, I'll give this a try. So I did a clinical rotation at a hospital in Michigan, and I saw my first vagina, and I was like, oh, that's not that bad. You know, and so
you mean other than your own?
Other than my own, you're right. You know, I don't even know if at that time I had seen my own. But
what, you don't just go around like mirrors to you?
Right, right. Not at that time. So now maybe so. But I think that once I started working with the patients, I really felt so drawn to staying in this field. And so my entire career as a physical therapist for 12 years has been in pelvic health. And it's really been rewarding to work with women and men. I see men as well, but specifically with women who have needed help for so long and didn't know there were options. They thought that they just had to deal with urinary leakage with running or painful intercourse after childbirth or, an abdominal separation after babies. And there really is help for that. And it's been wonderful to help them with that. And then even through my own journey of motherhood and pregnancy and childbirth, to have that information, it's been invaluable to me. And now I really, I'm on a mission to help other women know this information that I think we should all have access to.
And yes, I am so glad to be able to create a space for you to share that, because I want to know so much about it. So, where should we start? Like, what do people need to know about their relationship with their pelvic floor and why it's important to have PT?
That's a great question. So I think the first thing is just being aware that we have one. I think most of us, growing up as young women, we don't talk about these things, about what's normal pooping behaviors, what's normal to how often should we pee, and what should sex feel like? Should it be painful? Should inserting tampons be painful? There's just kind of this, there's like a mystical, cloud around like what really goes on down there. And I think that just talking about it, that hey, we have a pelvic floor. There are muscles down there that are responsible for, partially responsible for bladder function and bowel function and sexual function. And I think that the other thing is kind of knowing that physical therapy is not just Kegels. Unfortunately, for the past decade, say, we've read a lot in magazines about you've got to do your Kegels, and it's really not just about strengthening a muscle. It's about, knowing how that muscle's functioning. And so, as physical therapists, we specialize in muscles, and I just specialize in the muscles down there. Sometimes these muscles can be too tense, and that can actually lead to pelvic pain, discomfort with intercourse. It can even contribute to constipation or overactive bladder. And so there's a lot of things that it's not just about tensing the muscle, but sometimes we also have to relax the muscle. And there can be definitely times where the muscle is weak and Kegels would be appropriate. But there are research studies that show even when Kegels are appropriate, sometimes women aren't performing them correctly. If they just read about how to do them in a magazine, they may not even be doing them right. And that may actually be causing more damage to an issue. So I think that's why, as physical therapists, we really encourage women to see a therapist, talk with a therapist, work with a therapist to kind of know what's normal, what's not down there, and if they're having issues to get some support.
And so let's unpack a little bit of that and go back to the first things that you mentioned, that we have this sort of clouded relationship with our pelvic floor and don't know what normal pooping behavior we're being. So let's normalize that. What does normal pooping behavior, what is normal pooping behavior?
That's great. And actually, talking about poop is one of my favorite things, because if you have a good poop, then you have a good day most of the time. So, but really, what's normal for bowel movements is to go anytime, anywhere from 3 times a day to 3 times a week. We often think, gosh, if we don't go every day, then something's wrong. And that may not be the case, but your bowel movements should be easy to pass. They should be soft. You shouldn't strain at all and hold your breath. I encourage women to exhale and kind of breathe as they are having bowel movements to avoid kind of really pushing out, which could lead to prolapse or weakness. And my number one recommendation is a squatty potty, which is just a little stool that you put underneath your feet when you're using the bathroom to have a bowel movement. And it elevates your knees so that you're more in a squatting position, which helps relax your pelvic floor. So it's, just a really simple change. These little simple changes of staying hydrated, good nutrition, proper positioning and breathing can really help make a difference and spare women from getting, weakness in their pelvic floor muscles.
And you mentioned breathing and positioning. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Sure. So it's really, a lot of some people will just kind of sit on the toilet upright. But if you actually look back at Eastern cultures, or even, you know, when we, you know, go camping or do more outdoors, we squat over the ground to evacuate, to have a bowel movement. And that's the physiologically natural position to poop. In the Western world, we have toilets where we kind of sit upright, and that really doesn't help the muscles relax the way that they need to kind of empty the tanks. So putting your feet up on a little stool, I tell people use your toddler stool, use a squatty potty, turn a garbage can sideways, but just elevating your feet so that your knees are higher than your hip level. And then I encourage them to kind of lean forward and exhale as they're trying to kind of evacuate and have a bowel movement. And you know, it's one of this kind of relates back even to birth, because when we are often giving birth in the hospitals, sometimes they'll say, you know, hold your breath and really push, but we really shouldn't be holding our breath. We should be exhaling and breathing to allow our muscles to relax. If we hold our breath, we can actually tense our muscles, which works against us when we're trying to birth a baby or trying to have a bowel movement. So breathing is a really essential part of the whole process.
Mm-hmm. And I love, like, I'm a fan of the squatty potty as well. And this is not their promotion from them, but like they have the best, their ads with the unicorn pooping rainbow soft serve. They're magical. They are magical.
It is magical. And, you know, and the thing is they've kind of made it accessible to have this in your bathroom, in every bathroom. They've made it fun and lighthearted. I mean, I gave a squatty potty to my husband for his 40th birthday, you know? So I think it's just something that's really, it's such a simple change to make, but can really make a big difference. And even, you know, postpartum, initially postpartum for women, constipation can be a big issue. It can, you know, if you've had any medications that can cause constipation, if you've had a cesarean birth, sometimes you can have constipation. So educating women around that time about proper pooping mechanics really can make a difference kind of in their overall recovery.
Mm-hmm. And so I love all that and how intensely, you said you love talking about pooping, and me too, because it's so intensely connected to birthing. And yeah, same area, same muscles, right? Same kind of sensation, a little more intense. But do you have any other things that people need to know about constipation relating to their pelvic floor? Because during pregnancy, you also might get constipated. Everything is a little, your digestion is a little sluggish. So constipation can also be a thing, not just postpartum. Like in general, aside from making sure they understand the mechanics and have their knees above their hips and lean forward and breathe out and all that, is there anything else that they could be doing to minimize that constipation or help lessen it?
Yeah, I love your focus on poop. I love it, Adriana. It's wonderful. So I think women, we don't talk about these little intricacies of pregnancy and birth, but they're so important. Hydration is huge. We know that. We always say, you know, you've got to drink a lot of water. But one of the, you know, the top two reasons that people typically get constipated day to day are not enough water and not enough kind of fiber. But if you have too much fiber and not enough water, you can actually still get constipated. So I really push the water during pregnancy. We have such a greater blood volume because we're developing a placenta and we've got a lot more blood flow. So water is huge. And, you know, if something's, and you can try, you know, natural stool softeners. Magnesium is a really popular one right now, kind of a natural supplement to help facilitate softer stools. Something even as simple as prunes. Sometimes people take probiotics if they feel comfortable with that. So there's just a lot of kind of natural options to facilitate easier bowel movements. Again, we know hemorrhoids are really common during pregnancy and postpartum as well. So keeping your poop really soft to prevent those hemorrhoids as well is important.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all linked and related.
Yes.
So then you also mentioned, what do we need to know about, you know, peeing and painful sex and inserting tampons in terms of our pelvic?
Well, the natural segue from pooping is into peeing. So let's go there. Yeah. So, you know, one thing I think that's really common with urination is sometimes we're going really often. So what's normal to go to the bathroom to urinate is every 2 to 4 hours during the day. That obviously can get slightly increased during pregnancy. But if you feel like you have to go to the bathroom a lot, it could be that your pelvic floor muscles are related. They may not be relaxing well to help empty your bladder. So really working on some relaxation techniques to make sure that your bladder is emptying well, you're not getting chronic urinary tract infections. And the other thing is not straining when you pee. I call it power peeing. I know as a mom, I'm always in a rush. So even the bath, my bathroom trips are like, okay, we got to get out of here. Or I have a, you know, a kid crawling on my leg as I'm going to the bathroom. So, you know, I tell women to sit down, take a few deep breaths and relax and avoid straining or pushing. That habit can really lead, again, to weakness of the muscles, which can end in or develop into prolapse, which is when your organs kind of start to drop down into the vaginal canal, and you can get some pressure heaviness in the vagina. So, you know, sitting down, relaxing, the bladder is like a balloon. It fills with urine and it sends a signal to the brain that says, hey, I'm getting full. I'm going to have to go soon. And then you can walk to the restroom and relax your muscles to empty. But you don't have to push at all. The balloon kind of pushes the urine out for you. So not straining. And the other thing is that leakage is not normal. Often women leak and they kind of laugh about it because it can be embarrassing and we want to feel comfortable with it. But it's really not a normal habit to have to leak with running or jumping or laughing. That means your pelvic muscles aren't maybe turning on at the right time, or they're not strong enough to prevent against that pressure. So working with a therapist to relearn how to use those muscles, to maybe strengthen those muscles and teach them how to turn on at the right times, can help prevent with leakage over time.
And you also mentioned the opposite of having muscles that are too tight. And how can that affect both, you know, can that affect peeing?
Yes. Yes. And so, you know, I think when we think of muscles being too tight, they're often not relaxing when we need them to relax. So in the issue of bladder function, it would be, you know, you can't start your stream easily. You kind of sit down, you feel like you have to push a little bit because your muscles aren't relaxing, or your stream may start and stop, or you empty and then you're like, oh, I'm not sure if I emptied all the way, and you feel like you have to push a little bit out. So it's like when there's some resistance to emptying, that can be when your muscles are too tense. And oftentimes, if women aren't emptying their bladder well, it can lead to urgency. They feel like they have to go to the bathroom all the time. 20 or 30 minutes later, they're back in there. Or it can lead to actually urinary tract infections because, you know, their bladder is kind of has this urine in it that can stay really concentrated and it can lead to an infection. So, there's just, again, working on relaxation of breathing, not straining, and then, you know, working with a therapist if they're not able to kind of regulate those habits.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, like, what are some things that people can do to try to soften those muscles?
So what we educate women in our clinics or physical therapies, a lot of it all starts with our breath. And that's for everything. That's for exercise. That's for pregnancy. That's for birth. It's recovery. So just teaching them how to kind of do some gentle diaphragmatic breathing. So their bellies kind of expand, their pelvic floors soften and let go to, you know, help that muscle relax. I don't think that we always realize we're tensing our muscles down there. I know if I'm really stressed out or if I'm driving in a hurry, my shoulders get really tight and I kind of get some neck pain. It's kind of the same thing with your pelvic floor muscles. We may be holding tension down there we're not even aware of. So I really, you know, educate moms to just do some diaphragmatic belly breaths to help the muscles let go. I'm also a really big fan of yoga, of doing some deep squat stretches, child's pose, goddess pose, happy baby, to really lengthen and relax those muscles. It's, you know, when we think about how we birth babies, typically our legs are up or we're in the squatting position. We just talked about pooping, you're in the squatting position, because those are all positions that help facilitate relaxation of the muscles. So if they're too tense, we want to lengthen and relax them.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I spoke to somebody before about finding that just right muscle, right? Not too tight, not too loose, but just right. And it was, I remember, I'll link it on the show notes. It was an episode about, can you exercise too much yes. during pregnancy? Because we're finding those super tight, you know, perineums that can affect the length of pushing and how easily baby can come out.
You're so right, Adriana, in that yes, and I think that we do a lot of CrossFit and barre and a lot of we think about keep your pelvic floor tight and hold your abs in, and all of that tension really can, like you said, lead to those tense perineal muscles where women can't relax during birth. They're not sure how to relax their muscles. They're not sure how to push out properly, and that can, cause some challenges during that process. So, it's about balance. Just like you said, it's not too tight, not too weak, but it's really just about balancing what we're doing with lengthening and strengthening.
You need those Goldilocks perineum muscles.
You're
Just
right.
right. Let's take a quick break, Sarah. We'll be right back. The transition into parenting can be unexpectedly hard, and sometimes you need more mental and emotional support, but also need it to be something that can easily fit into your new daily flow. That's why I want to let you know about BetterHelp.com, which is pretty much the world's largest e-counseling platform. Their goal is to make professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient so you can get help anytime, anywhere. After you answer a few questions about the type of help you need and what you're looking for in a counselor, BetterHelp quickly connects you with your personally matched licensed professional therapist. And the convenience does not end there, because you can log into your BetterHelp account anytime and send a message to your therapist whenever you feel the need. My experience is that responses are quite timely and thoughtful. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions and have them happen from the convenience of your own home. But don't just take my word for it. Go to betterhelp.com/birthful to check out the testimonials that are posted daily. For example, one reviewer wrote about her therapist, Elaine, saying that, quote, "Elaine is a great listener and provides well-rounded feedback. She is prompt in responding to messages and provides great worksheets to help you through what you're currently experiencing. I have felt a significant shift already with only two sessions with her," end quote. BetterHelp is not a crisis line, and it's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online and available worldwide. And I really appreciate that there is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's counselor network, which may not be otherwise available locally in many areas. BetterHelp is also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Go to betterhelp.com/birthful. That's better H-E-L-P. And join over the 700,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. As a special offer for Birthful listeners, get 10% off your first month when you go to betterhelp.com/birthful. And we are back talking with Sarah Reardon about, of all things PT, like how to, what you need to know about your pelvic floor. And all this talk about the pain also reminded me, like one of the tricks that I tell, because I look at it physiologically, I have this beautiful, beautiful birth atlas that shows me side views of the pregnant, belly and body and as baby comes out and pushes, but you can see the bladder and how it gets, it's a squished pancake.
Yes.
With baby. So one of the things that I like to also, this talk reminded me of, is it can be helpful to, when you sit down to pee in this relaxation, like just lift your belly up, like hold it up with your hands just to eliminate, lift the like baby and placenta and all of that off your bladder so that it's not being pinched, so that it can help eliminate everything easier.
That's a great tip. That's, and sometimes even women, that's a great tip to kind of lift their bellies. I actually have them in their later trimesters wear an abdominal support, because we kind of want to just give them any additional support to that belly to kind of offload how much is kind of on the lower pelvic cavity as well. So that's something I also do proactively with moms, is I think there's a lot of things we just think we have to suffer through the aches and pains of pregnancy, but there are some things that you can do to help prevent those things and even treat them if they happen. And that's a great tip that you have. I might start using that myself.
And especially during labor itself, lift your belly, because urine is not compressible, and that's, high stakes real estate. You want every little millimeter of availability.
That's a great way to think about it. That's so right.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned the abdominal support, and I really want to talk about that both pregnancy and postpartum, because I Yes, I have so many questions about that. But before we move there, is there anything else that you wanted to mention about normal pelvic function in terms of peeing, pooping, in terms of, you mentioned the sex, you mentioned using tampons?
Yes. And so I think that, thank you for bringing us back to that, because one thing I do, I think that I really hear a lot of from women and see a lot of in my clinic is pelvic pain. And it's more often pain with intercourse, that either the first time someone has intercourse, they may experience pain and they think, oh, is this normal? Or my friends, you know, say that it's painful. The same thing with kind of inserting tampons. If, you know, any woman that comes in with some pelvic pain with intercourse or pelvic examinations from their doctors, I also ask them about painful tampon insertion, because that can be our first indicator that maybe they do have a more challenging time relaxing their pelvic floor muscles to insert something. And, you know, more specific to pregnancy and postpartum, that no pain is normal during pregnancy or postpartum. It can be common, but not normal. But particularly postpartum, you know, there can be scar tissue if there's been any vaginal tearing or an episiotomy. There can be vaginal dryness due to breastfeeding or nursing. And so I really work a lot with women to help them do scar massage to their perineal area, even to their, if they've had a cesarean birth, even do scar massage to their cesarean scar to help facilitate blood flow to the whole pelvic area, working on relaxation of those muscles if they do have some tension, and just facilitating a lot of relaxation in the area before we just start doing our Kegels again. But no amount of pain is normal, and definitely working with a therapist or speaking with someone can help, you know, them have a more pleasurable experience. I always think I don't want sex to be something we feel like we have to tolerate. I want it to be something that we feel like we enjoy. So, you know, if there's pain, that's not enjoyable. So I definitely recommend women to get some help and support from a therapist if that's the case.
And I think it's important to mention that at any time, like, and you're saying this as well, like not postpartum, but at any time. So if you're already, you have had a history of these things that we're talking about and have, like, you know, sex is painful to you, or inserting a tampon is painful, or you suffer from a lot of UTIs and you're pregnant, then even more so, you might want to definitely reach out to a pelvic PT to try to, there's so much that's going to happen with your pelvis in your journey to having a baby that, you know, kind of get it to that Goldilocks position, to that just right, eliminate things that is may make it harder than for your birthing and recovery.
That's a great point. And so really encouraging women to come in during pregnancy to even help prepare for that childbirth. I think we kind of go in thinking, you know, oh, I'm just going to kind of leave it up to my doctor or my midwife or whatever. But I think the more education we have, the more awareness we have of our muscles, the more we've really educated and empowered ourselves to have a really some, you know, kind of what we want our bodies to do can really benefit us. So definitely, if you have that history, even if you're curious, if you have that history of tension, I would say go in, work with a therapist. I work a lot with doulas, and we kind of, you know, really collaborate to facilitate what's best for those patients to give them a good childbirth experience.
So when somebody goes in, say for during pregnancy, for a, just to see where they're at and create a plan of moving forward, like what can they expect? What does that visit look like?
So typically I'll have them come in and we'll sit down and chat for a little while. I just want to get a really good history about if they've had previous childbirths, previous pregnancies, any issues that they've had. I always say I'm going to ask everybody about peeing, pooping, and sex, because I want to see if there's any type of other dysfunction going on that we need to address. And then I first start by just looking at them. I look how they're sitting. I look how they're standing and walking. I check their pelvic alignment and standing, which means I just want to make sure everything's level. Often during pregnancy, we can get a little shift of our pelvic bones, which can lead to some sacroiliac joint dysfunction or pain, pubic symphysis pain, sciatica. So I want to make sure that pelvis is in really good alignment, because we know our ligaments are getting relaxed and things can soften and move around. And then I also, I check for their abdominal wall for a diastasis recti, which is an abdominal separation down the midline. That just gives me an idea of, you know, where we need to start with respect to exercise, educating them a lot on how to get out of bed, how to get off the floor, how to put on their socks and shoes, just day-to-day things that are changing because their muscles and their structure are changing. And then depending on where they are in their pregnancy or if they feel comfortable, sometimes we do an intravaginal assessment, which means I'll have them lie on their backs. They'll be undressed from the waist down with a sheet covering, kind of like when you're at the doctor, but it's a little more relaxed. Your feet aren't in stirrups or anything. But then I do test their muscles internally to see how strong their pelvic floor contraction is, which is what we call a Kegel, how well they relax their muscles, how well they can push or bear down during a bowel movement if they're, you know, planning for a vaginal birth. So really just looking at how their muscles are outside and inside, and then using that information to develop a plan for them. It could be a strengthening plan. It could be a relaxation plan. There's kind of I can offer different pregnancy supports that they may want to buy or purchase to help, you know, make them more comfortable, things like that.
So about the posture, when you said I just look at them first and see how they're doing, that also fascinates me. Like how should people carry themselves during pregnancy?
As best they can, really.
Right. Yeah.
I remember for years I was, you know, working with women like, you should walk every day and you should do this. And then once you're pregnant, you're like, I'm just lucky if I make it through the day, Sarah. You know? And then but you know, what I really do recommend is I do recommend different supports during the different trimesters. So in the second trimester, sometimes I recommend a little brace to kind of keep the pelvis together to secure the pubic symphysis and the sacroiliac joints. That's typically a time where you have a little more laxity in movement. During the last trimester, I may recommend an abdominal support or even what's like a vaginal compression device, because sometimes we get that swelling or heaviness in the vagina at the end of the day because of all the blood flow. So just things to help make them more comfortable.
Is that like a band for the third trimester?
It's like a jock strap for your vagina. It's like there are two different pieces. One is like a belly band, but it's got a support that goes underneath the abdomen to kind of help lift up the abdomen, as you mentioned before. And the other one's like a tight pair of underwear that really puts compression up on the vagina so that they just get a little more support, because we typically experience swelling or just pressure. People feel like, oh, he's so low or the baby's so low. And so just giving them a little vaginal support because their muscles are more lengthened and relaxed during that last stage.
And one of the things that I'm always curious about with any type of support is, you know, is that support going to help you, or is it going to also, especially postpartum, you know, create a crutch,
right,
for those muscles? So tell me,
right,
more about that.
So it's really, you know, I get that question a lot, and it's so individualized. And that's even during pregnancy. Like, I recommend these things, but if somebody's baby is breech or transverse, we may not use that support because maybe that baby needs more room. Maybe we need to do some lengthening to the uterus sacral ligaments. So it's all individualized, but these are kind of general recommendations. Postpartum, I don't say that everybody needs a support band, because I don't think that that's the case. And I think that some bands can cause too much compression on the abdomen, and it actually can make it feel like there are things squishing out the bottom. So think if you have a tube of toothpaste and you kind of grab it in the middle of the tube, what happens is the toothpaste comes out of the opening, right? And that's what can happen to kind of the pelvic cavity, is that if we put too much tension on the abdominals, the pelvic floor doesn't have the support it needs, and it's got more pressure now. So it can actually work against us. If someone has, you know, multiples, maybe twins or triplets, they may need some abdominal support. If somebody has a large diastasis or even a hernia, they may need some abdominal support. But I don't just blanket say everybody needs to have a belly band. And there are some that I really prefer because they're softer and more movable, and there are some that are just too rigid, and I think that they are not practical or comfortable either. So they can be helpful, but then they can also be harmful. So it's not a yes for everybody. And with your question about, is it a crutch? You know, it can be. I think that with anything, if we want to use these supports to help make us functional, because we've got kids we need to lift, we've got car seats we need to carry, We want to be able to maybe start walking and feel like we're not just falling apart. But at the same time, that shouldn't stop someone from doing the things they need to kind of the things they need to do to regain strength, working on their abdominals and pelvic floor and kind of really getting that function back with muscle work and strengthening versus just wear that support all the time and they don't have to worry about anything. So yes, you're right.
Awesome. There is a whole tradition culturally, right, of belly band, belly wrapping and all that. And so your thoughts on that are similar to what you just said.
Yes, it is. It's not a blanket for everyone. You know, I think that it can be helpful for some women. I think if it's too tight, it can actually cause pressure down on the pelvic floor. You know, like I said, just think of this, like if you've got too much pressure in the middle, it can cause things to kind of go out the bottom. And that's after birth, it's such a tender time. There's just a lot of lengthening and weakness down there. So we really need to support from the bottom up versus just from the middle. And so, and I also think that, you know, I want women to be functional, but I'm less worried about this kind of quote unquote getting your body back.
Oh, please.
I know.
I've got it for that one. I have to roll my eyes because it's one of those cultural things that's hurting us so much.
It's hurting us so much. And I think that we just, one, have these unrealistic expectations of what to expect from our bodies. And two, and we're so hard on ourselves. And two, it's not about getting your body back because things will never be the same in our lives. You know, I think we really have to pass through this season that we're in of recovery and easing into motherhood and that we're new people and we have a new person in our lives. And it's really a transformation versus an attachment to what we used to be and what we used to have. And I think that once we can kind of really start accepting that, that's when things healing really occurs versus this kind of attachment to like what we used to have and we need to get it back, which is a natural thing. But I think that I would love to see more focus on that versus like, you know, your 1 week postpartum picture and you've got a flat belly. Like that doesn't, there's no race, there's no prize, there's no I'm not sure what we're all racing back for, you know?
Well, and I think it just goes back to what we were talking originally about this cloud of not understanding our pelvic floor and how that is the structural pivotal, you know, base of our movement and life and long-time health, like our cores, right? We talk about our cores and how we need to have a healthy core. And I go back to that Goldilocks thing of not just a tight core, but a functional core, because it's holding in all our muscles and all our organs and is what creates movement. So if you like quickly went back to having a flat, but like it took 9 months to get there and then you push the baby out or baby came out, you know, through your abdominal wall. Either way, that core had so much structural shift that if you go too quickly, you're going to injure yourself.
That's exactly right. And I always tell my patients, you can't run a marathon before you can walk a mile. And afterwards, we just need a move. You know, it's just really just about movement and healing and not just physical healing, but emotional healing and psychological healing. And I think there's just so much focus on the physical. And I have to admit, I mean, with my first birth, I was like, I want to get back. And I'm, you know, was in the gym a month later. And I look back and I'm like, what was I doing? You know, I mean, that was just such a tender time that I kind of robbed myself of because I was just so anxious to kind of get my life back. But you realize your life will never be back the way that it used to. It's different and it's richer in other ways. And yes, that's absolutely right. And you can do a lot of damage. And I think that that's what I see is a lot of women going back to too aggressive of workouts too soon, or they are not ready to do certain workouts and they're kind of pushing through pain or urinary leakage, you know, but I don't necessarily blame the women. I think that we have such little education about how to rehabilitate ourselves and we have such little support. You know, we get a 10-minute visit with a physician, maybe. Research shows that 40% of women don't even attend their postpartum visits. So how are we supposed to know what to do and what's okay? And, you know, when we do see our doctors, it's an exam and they say, all looks good. You can start having sex and working out. And that's what the focus is on, is sex and working out, versus there's so much more that really needs to be occurring to support women through this transformation. And so I hope that in my lifetime, I see every woman getting physical therapy after birth. I hope that they are getting it during pregnancy to help with pregnancy and prepare for childbirth, because, you know, we have these unrealistic expectations as a society about how women are supposed to be functioning.
Absolutely. No, and I agree. It's just, we don't know, right? And that's why I'm so passionate about sharing this information, and as you are, because we're really hurting ourselves, both mentally and physically and emotionally and all the things, by not giving ourselves the time needed to and the grace needed to understand this new transformation that we're going through, and figuring out our babies and figuring our new identity as a parent, like going from an individual to a parent. That's huge. Mom, used to always be mom. Now it's you. What does that, it's an internal earthquake. It's ridiculous.
That's a great analogy. It is an internal earthquake, you know, but what's really wonderful, Adriana, is I see it changing. Mm-hmm. Over the past 10 years of pelvic health, like you said, I see there's so many more pelvic health physical therapists in this field. Women are now knowing pelvic health physical therapy, it's a thing. I can get it. I want it. They're asking for it. It's just really incredible to see women taking that step to be advocates for themselves instead of, you know, just waiting on a doctor to send them or waiting for something to go wrong and then asking for it, or, you know, or going to their doctor and their doctor's like, oh, you know, you don't really need it. And it's not really just up to them to decide. So I really see such an incredible transformation happening right now of women advocating for themselves, getting the resources that they need, sharing that with their friends. And just, I think it all kind of goes along with the whole movement that's going on as a society and culture about kind of women coming out of this, the shadows, and really starting to, you know, take care of themselves and not be victims.
I totally agree. And So let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about birth and postpartum. We'll be right back. I am often frustrated that my photos are deep in the depths of my phone photo roll or scattered over email or text messages that I get from my husband and my daughter. And it's just so hard that I can't find the photos that I'm looking for when I'm looking for them. Enter Family Album. Family Album is a fantastic family-focused photo sharing app that makes it easy for parents to share photos and videos of their kids with their family. The app is free, offers unlimited storage, and has no ads. I really love the fact that photos and videos are automatically sorted by date, and that Family Album puts together short video collages with 1-second clips, highlighting your best photos and videos, so you can watch your children grow and change over time in a second. I also really appreciate that Family Album keeps things private so that only people you invite can see your family's photo album. This has been amazing for my parents and siblings because we can now easily share pictures exclusively with them. I have set up our family album so that my parents can also upload pictures to the app, and that way I also get to see what they've been up to. This definitely makes us feel like we're closer together, even though they're all the way in Venezuela. I highly recommend you give Family Album a try, and I think you will be pleasantly surprised. Remember that Family Album is free to use with unlimited storage and has no ads. Family Album does not collect user data and has strong privacy controls in place. Find Family Album on your favorite app store or by searching for Family Album on the web. That's Family Album, all in one word. And we're back talking about all things pelvic health with Sarah Reardon. And so the pushing, I know that the timing, we're getting to the end, but let's talk briefly about pushing and postpartum recovery, especially the pushing. Like, what are some of the things that people need to consider when, for say, if they have a tear, or if there's, you mentioned briefly of like having directed pushing where you're holding your breath, like what do you tell people when they're going into preparing for pushing?
To breathe. So basically, I mean, just to kind of fall back on our natural physiological, one of the most important processes we have, is to breathe. So there's two things with birth. Is that one, I think that there's a misconception that we have to birth on our backs. I think that that's what we see women birth in when we see television shows. I think that that's what we, if, you know, with the most traditional position is if they're in the hospital, but we don't. There are different positions that you can birth in, even if you do have medication. Side lying is a wonderful position, even hands and knees. So there's just a lot of options, and that can really help facilitate the descent of the baby in the vaginal canal, in the birth canal, and then also the urge to push becomes kind of more natural because you've got a pressure on that area, so you don't feel like you're really kind of not sure what you're doing. So it be you have to push even less if you get that natural pressure and sensation. And then when we are pushing, I do encourage women to breathe. I tell them to exhale like they're blowing out birthday candles. When we exhale, we really allow some of that pressure out of our abdominal cavity instead of just forcing everything down, which is what leads to hemorrhoids and pelvic organ prolapse. So, they can push and bear down, but they need to breathe and exhale as they do that. Just like they poop. I say having a baby is like taking a big dump. You need to just
Well, oh, absolutely. So much.
Yeah.
And taking it back to the poop analogy, I take it even one further and go, like if the urge to push, some people go like, oh yeah, I think I feel like pushing. I'm like, well, no. It's if you're questioning if you think you have or no, you're not. It's the same thing like when you're the oh, I could poop and I could go and it could take a long time versus if I don't make it to this, like it's got that's it's you. I can't but poop. It's I can't but push. That's the moment you want to get to. Because
Right, you're so right, and that's why I think women are spending hours pushing when it's really like they're not ready, like
it's too soon.
that's too soon, and so that they're holding their breath and pushing for hours, so they get worn out, their pelvic floor gets blown out, and so it's really waiting to the right time. And that's why I mean, one of the number one things I tell women is to have a doula. Like, I mean, it's just you need a support person. This is your first rodeo for most of the time. If not, then you even if it's your second. I had a doula for my first and my second birth, and I'm in this field, and I'm like, I need support, I need guidance, and I leaned on my doula to coach me through when I was in those times. So I'm just a huge fan because they can help support you. They can be whispering in your ear to breathe. They can be kind of giving you that guidance and support you need that you may not be getting from, the other medical staff around you.
And then I think for postpartum, where we might have you come back and talk about this, but I think for I wish we could do stuff in this case like they do in France, where every single birthing person gets automatic PT as part of pelvic PT as part of their postpartum health checkup and recovery. Let's start demanding that from everybody we know, our care providers and our legislators. But also, what like I would say, and maybe I'm sure you agree with this, that one of the things that I would like to see is for every pregnant person to set up a pelvic PT, one at least one after giving birth.
So absolutely, it would be wonderful for women to have, yeah, just one postpartum follow-up, I feel like would be progress. It would just really be a great way to kind of facilitate moms in their recovery. And I do a lot of online sessions as well with women because we know that making a doctor's appointment is really difficult after you've had kids. So even just the availability of a therapist, whether it's a phone call or a video call to say, hey, I've got this abdominal separation. How do I pick up my kids? Or, sorry about that. So, hey, I have this abdominal separation. It's painful to pick up my kids, or I've got hemorrhoids. What can I do about that? So, just a variety of things that we can be helpful that we don't always think of physical therapy for.
So much. And yeah, we're gonna have you back because I want to talk like have a whole one on postpartum. We did this whole one on pregnancy and pushing. Sarah, if people want to reach out to you and connect, how can they do that?
So you can find me online. I have a website called The Vag Whisper, VAG, thevagwhisper.com, and I've got some blogs on there and information about online sessions. And then my most popular way is Instagram. My Instagram name is @the_vagina_whisperer. So I just post tons of tips on there to help support women, not even just pregnancy and postpartum, just throughout the lifespan about just how we can better care for ourselves and a lot of pelvic health stuff.
Fantastic. Thank you so, so much for being here on the show today.
Thank you, Adriana.
Mighty ones, find the in-depth show notes for this episode at birthful.com, where you can also learn more about me, the show, send me messages, and more. Remember to check out my birth preparation online class series that starts this Thursday, February 6th. And even if you're a little late, come in and sign up anyway. Go check it out at birthfulcourses.com to really get birth ready. This episode was produced by me and made possible by you, the amazing Birthful patrons, and the wonderful people at BetterHelp and Family Album. Go to betterhelp.com/birthful to get 10% off your first month and find Family Album on your favorite app store or by searching for Family Album on the web. The title song for this podcast is Vive Ace by Kevin MacLeod, and the sponsorship song is Air Hockey Saloon by Chris Zabriskie. Find them both at freemusicarchive.org. Oh, and when I reached out to Sarah to see what she had for breakfast recently, she said she had a banana and a cup of green tea for breakfast. She usually has coffee, but they were out. I'm Adriana Lozada. Please join me next week when I'll be talking to a mighty parent as they share their amazing story here at the Birthful Podcast. Thanks so very much for listening. This episode is copyright 2020 by Adriana Lozada.